though all may be gone, our victory is won. I would invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Let's read what appears to be utter defeat, and yet victory is found in this defeat. Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. When the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit on us, that we might see your victory, our victory, in your Son, our Savior, the offspring of the woman. Amen. Where was God? There are many people in the Milwaukee area who are asking that question, perhaps all of us in some way. Where was God on Wednesday afternoon in Miller Valley? Where was God in the Garden of Eden? Why didn't he stop what happened on Wednesday? Why didn't he just step into the garden and stop what was happening that day? These are just two of many questions that flood my heart and mind. And they have no answer that satisfies me. So why should we be here talking about Adam and Eve and God and Satan? There's only one thing that calms my soul when I face questions that have no answer. And it's this truth, that on Easter morning, our Savior came out of the tomb alive. That he was victorious. And we too are victorious. This is what we'll have to keep in mind throughout this undefeated message series. Undefeated by the devil today, undefeated by skepticism, undefeated by spiritual blindness, undefeated by dysfunction, undefeated by death. In my mind, the scorecard is the devil 99 and I am always zero because these things defeat me over and over again. How can we say that we are undefeated? It is only as we keep our eyes on the Savior that came out of the tomb this Lenten season. As we march our way toward Easter morning, we can see that what appears to be victory is defeat. And what appears to be defeat is victory. It certainly appeared to be defeat that day in the garden. Satan begins with a simple question. Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? And then he intensifies the charge. He says, "Oh, Eve. God said you will die, but I want to tell you the truth because I care about you. It's all about you, Eve. I care enough about you to tell you the truth that you won't die. In fact, you eat of this fruit, you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And Eve believed the lie. Eve, it is always all about you. Do what you think is right, because it is all about you. You can't count on God. You have to depend on yourself. Live for yourself. Save yourself. Eve, it is always all about you. That's the lie that defeated Eve, defeats me every day, defeats us all. It's always all about you. You can't depend on God. He's failed you in the past. Do what you think is right. It's always all about you. It's a lie that is so powerful that it blinded Eve to the truth. The reality is, God loved Adam and Eve. You read through Genesis chapter 2, and it is a love letter to mankind. Genesis chapter 1, we see God's amazing power in creating all things in 6 days. But in Genesis chapter 2, God goes back over those events of Genesis chapter 1, but this time highlights how he is showing love toward mankind. God created a perfect world, right? It was all very good, and yet God loves the crown of his creation so much that he says, I'm going to make a special place in this perfect world. I'm going to make this garden in Eden for Adam and Eve to live in. I'm going to give them something meaningful for them to do. They can work the ground. I'm going to give them a way to say that they love me back, a way for them to worship me. I'm just going to put this one tree here, and they can show their love back to me simply by not eating from that tree. And then he created family and companionship. A man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. The love of the Lord God was obvious. It was all around Eve. But the lie blinded her to this fact. Eve, it's really all about you. It depends on you. You find the answers. Rescue yourself. You can't depend on God. Isn't that true of us as well? You know, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And Martin Luther in the Fourth Commandment said, you know, what does this mean? God surely gives daily bread without our asking, even to all the wicked. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. And then if you were a young person in the Lutheran faith, you got angry with Martin Luther. Those of you who know the next section know what I mean. He makes this creepy long list. And we as pastors insist that you get the list in the right order, right? What's daily bread? Daily bread is everything that you see around you. Does the Lord God love the crown of his creation to this day? Every day, he gives us daily bread. Every day, we can see the evidence of his love all around us. You know, yesterday I was talking with a couple about baptism, and he shared how he'd fallen out of a tree and broken his wrist, and he talked about how you know, the bone that he broke controlled like 8 bones in your hand. And I just started to think, you know, I kind of take this for granted. My hand works. Daily bread, right? And yet, Satan comes in and he says, it's really all about you. You can't depend on God. You might as well do what you think is right. And what happens? That lie separates them from the one thing that could give them hope. The Lord God comes into the garden in the cool of the day, and they are defeated. They scurry for cover. They blame each other. Defeat is complete. But then something unusual happens. The Lord again shows his love to Adam and Eve. He reveals that the truth is, it is always about you. That this is the truth that can rescue us every day and defeat Satan every day. If we hear our Savior say, it is always all about you. What do I mean by that? Well, the Lord God comes into the garden in the cool of the day. He had said, the day you eat of it, you will surely die. He could have come in and just simply destroyed Adam and Eve. But instead, what does he do? He comes in with questions. Where are you? Who told you you're naked? Have you eaten from that fruit? What have you done? Why does God come into the garden with questions? He knows everything. Why? Because it's always been all about Adam and Eve and you and me. The Lord says, you are incredibly precious to me. The Lord God, in a sense, humbles himself even there in the garden. And rather than come in judgment and justice, he comes in love and he invites a response. The question is, how do we respond to these questions? Adam and Eve respond in antagonism. How will we respond when the Lord God comes to us in love and asks us questions? Have you ever thought about using the Ten Commandments like questions? On page 156 in our hymnal, there is this personal preparation for communion, page 156, and that's what the author of this personal preparation does. He puts the commandments into question form. He asks, how well have I carried out my responsibilities as a husband or wife or single person, as a parent or child, an employer or an employee, a teacher or student? How have I loved God with all my heart? And so on. Why did God give the Ten Commandments? He didn't need to. We heard it in the Romans lesson. There weren't the Ten Commandments from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, and yet God, in his justice, condemned all of those people from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even though they didn't sin by breaking a specific command from God like Adam did. There weren't the Ten Commandments. Why were the Ten Commandments added? As you read on in Romans 5, Paul explains the commandments were given so that the trespass might increase. The commandments were given so that you and I might ask ourselves these questions. How have I trusted in something other than my Savior God? How have I trusted in doctors, money, my abilities, more than my Savior God? How have I failed to call upon my God in every trouble? How have I failed to give him thanks for the daily bread? He gives us these commandments so that we question ourselves, so that sin increases, so that we appreciate God's grace all the more. The grace that is revealed in this marvelous promise of the Savior. I will put enmity, God says, hostility between you. He's talking to the devil in the serpent. I'm going to put hostility between you, Satan, and the woman. The devil had defeated Eve. The devil had convinced Eve, you should trust me more than you should trust God. You should trust your own reasoning ability. Oh, it's food is good. The tree is good for food. It's pleasing to the eye. It will gain wisdom. Trust yourself. God says, I'm going to break that relationship. I'm going to put hostility between you, Satan, and the woman, because that relationship will only bring about her destruction. Between her offspring and your offspring, there's going to be hostility between believers and unbelievers. And then the chief part of this promise, he, the offspring or the woman's seed, the child born of Eve, will crush your head. Satan, you are going to be defeated. But to do that, he will have to suffer. You, Satan, will strike his heel. The truth is, God looks at each one of us and says, it's always been all about you. Before the creation of the world, God chose his son to be your sacrifice. It has always been all about you. This is the truth that defeats Satan. When he whispers in our ear, it's all about you, it all depends on you, you have to do it. God speaks into our heart and says, the truth is, I say it's all about you, and I will do anything that's necessary so that you might be with me forever, even to the point of sacrificing my own son. And it's when we see that God is saying, it's all about you, that we begin to see the world in a completely different way. Right after this promise of the Savior comes these words spoken to Eve. I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. When trouble comes into families, Satan is whispering in your ear, it is all about you. If there is trouble in your family, it's your fault. And there's no way to get rid of that guilt. If there's trouble in the family, you have to come up with a solution. It all depends on you. But the Lord God says, listen to me. I have always said it is all about you. And even as you experience hardship in your families, it's still true. Jesus came. He crushed Satan's head. He rose victorious from the grave. You and I are victorious, not because we can see it, but because we are linked to him. God goes on. And he talks about how it's going to be hard work in this world. There's going to be pain and death. Horrible things happening like what happened in Miller Valley. And we'll ask, where is God? Is God defeated? No. The resurrection of our Savior changes what appears to be defeat into our victory that we know, even though we can't understand and explain these things that happen. When it appears that the devil is winning, it is not true because our Savior is still victorious. I don't know why. God doesn't explain why. But he was there. And he is in the darkest depths of your lives too. When it just seems like Satan has been the only one who is victorious. You are victorious in Christ. Adam knew that. That's why he said, I'm going to name my wife Eve. Eve comes from the word life. Even though everything around me sometimes says, Satan is always winning, I'm going to call my wife Eve to remind me that in the promised Savior, I am victorious. You know, in the beginning of the service, I put up this slide. And this is the way it just always seems to me every morning. I am defeated. Satan has robbed me of joy and comfort over and over again. And it seems like he's always won. But I would just ask you, you look at this, who's the home team? God says that the devil is the prince of this world. God says that he is the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The reality is, God created a paradise for Adam and Eve. And the Lord God wants us to live in a paradise again. Read about it in Revelation 22. You see, we're just the guests here. We're just passing through. And someday we will see that this is true. Satan defeated. We victorious. Heaven is our home. You sang it just before the bells rang. We're undefeated. Jesus is risen.